Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation with Allie Rose, author of Ghost Girl. Allie Rose grew up in a haunted house, and like so many people who have lived through that experience, it changed her life. It had such a huge impact that growing up, she was nicknamed Ghost Girl. As time went by, she began to search for answers by ghost hunting and researching the paranormal, leading her to more unsettling experiences. By sharing her experiences, she hopes to provide a sense of camaraderie for those whose lives have also been affected by the paranormal. I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll talk about growing up with paranormal activity with Allie Rose, author of Ghost Girl. So let's talk about some of those other places that you've been. And there was a couple that, there was one. I just wrote down a note, Daisy. I thought this was an interesting story. I really loved it.
Yes, the Daisy at the cemetery?
Yes.
Yes, I actually just told the story on my TikTok today. So basically, my friends and I were investigating this old cemetery in my hometown. It was one of the first places we ever went to. We were walking around asking questions. I had this little camera case on my belt. That camera case was like all you could fit into it was the camera. And it wasn't like a big fancy camera. It was literally like a little digital camera that you just held in your hand.
Yeah. So we're talking inches big. This is not like a backpack
it was not a big fancy camera at all by any means. It was small. So I had put my camera back in the case because it was turning off and on by itself, and there was no point in trying to use it because it was just clearly not working. So I put it back in the case, and like I remember specifically, I put it in the case. I would have known if there was something in that case when I closed it. So I put the camera in the case, closed it, attached it to my belt, and it was like completely sealed. Like there weren't any holes or any way that anything could get into it. So we're just walking around, and at one point I felt something pull on the camera case because it was attached by this little clip to my belt loop. And I looked down, I was like, what the heck was that? Nothing there. Didn't really think much of it. You know, I was like, maybe it was just my imagination. So we just continued to walk around for a bit, ask questions, all that. And I decided to try to get my camera back out and see if it was working. And when I opened it back up, there was a daisy sitting on top of my camera in the case. I did not put it there. It had not been there when I closed it. I hadn't opened it back up, nothing. So I was like, that is really weird. And right at that exact moment, literally sounds like something out of a movie, I turned and realized we were standing next to a grave of someone named Daisy. Was she trying to say hi? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, obviously she was trying to connect with you. Because the other thing, too, is that, okay, say maybe the Daisy miraculously ends up in your camera case on your camera. I'm not quite sure how that would work, but maybe it did.
Yeah.
But of all the places that you would have discovered that, what are the odds of you discovering that right next to Daisy's marker at the cemetery?
I know. Yeah. Like, and Daisy isn't really that common of a name either. So I thought that was weird.
One thing you were doing now when you were younger anyway that I thought was a really interesting concept, and I think you were doing it through Facebook, was every hour. So you were posting about your investigations once an hour, that if you're coming up with any information, which I loved, I thought that was great. So do you still kind of do it like that?
That's not how I do it anymore, but I thought it was
a great idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been considering going back to that, though, because, like, it was a unique approach, and a lot of people that watched our videos did really enjoy it, just that format in general. I think that was also really beneficial, because it was like you would know when to start and stop recording. Right. And even if like you didn't get anything, you could just make a quick log style video and be like, so this is what's happened so far. It's almost like a story time sort of.
Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting when you do have an update.
Exactly. I'm like, hey guys, guess what just happened?
So what were some of the earlier places that you went to investigate? I know there was a hospital that you spent quite a bit of time at, and you got quite a bit of activity there.
Yes. That hospital is still one of my favorite places I've ever been. It was very haunted. Pretty much every time I went there, I would have something happen. Even if it was just a small little thing, like something would happen. They used to be more lenient about ghost hunting. They do not like it now. So the last time I went, the last time I went was like 2017. And it was very clear that we didn't need to be there. But before that, you could pretty much get away with going up on like all the floors that you were legally allowed to be on. You wouldn't even run into anybody because there really weren't a lot of people up there. There were offices, but they weren't always open and there weren't very many of them. Like, so you kind of were basically by yourself.
You got quite a bit of activity though, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. So like, oh gosh, I'm trying to think because like there have been so many things. Probably the main thing that happened, but this was when I was a little older, but the main thing that happened was when we heard screaming on the floor above us, which was the floor that you're not supposed to be on. And the reason I know that there was nobody up there was because one of my friends had gone up there and I was like, you really shouldn't go up there. That's not like you're going to get in trouble. And he was like, I don't really care. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to walk this way. And so the way that I was walking, you had to go through the big like hospital doors. So you couldn't hear anything from the room that the staircase was in. And I was walking, there was actually another friend with me. And all of a sudden we heard from the floor above us through the ceiling, basically, someone screaming their head off. Sounded like they were in horrible pain. And we thought it was our friend. And that floor up there, the reason it's closed off is because everything has not been like renovated.
Oh,
like,
right. It's not safe.
Yeah. Like it looks exactly as it did back in the day. So like, it's not safe up there. Like it's roped off for a reason. So we thought that like something happened and he like broke his leg or something. So we go running back and right as we reach the bottom of the stairs, he comes down and we're like, what the heck was that? And he was like, what are you talking about? And so I won't lie, that kid was kind of a jokester, trickster type. So we thought he was messing with us, but it turned out that he had been recording from the time he went up the stairs to the time he came back down and did not stop recording once. Me and my friend leaving through the doors at the beginning of the video while he was up there, did not really make a sound, was kind of whispering a little bit. He was like, hey, oh my gosh, look at this. That's so creepy. But like no screaming, no moving anything that made a loud sound, like nothing. But like we 100% had heard someone screaming from right above us.
To the point you thought he was injured.
Yeah, like we were really worried about him.
So what happened when you decided that you did not want to continue investigations? Did you feel like you were kind of opening yourself up too much?
Pretty much. It just got to a point where it was making the stuff in that house that I lived in a lot worse. And because I didn't really know as much as I know now about like taking proper like precautions and cleansing and things like that. I would just be like, hey, don't follow me home and hope for the best. But so there is already stuff in the home, but sometimes maybe things would follow me. I don't know for a fact, but I know that things would get really amped up after I would go to a place. And when things were very active in that house, it was not a fun time. So it was just getting to be too much. And there was a lot going on in my life at the time. Like I had started college and all this stuff, and I just really couldn't handle it. No. So I was like, I'm done with this.
Did you feel too at any time when you were living in the house? My house, when I was growing up there was a lot of family issues, mental illness, alcoholism with my parents, and anger. You know, there's just a lot of things. And I look back on it, I wonder if some of the activity was also fueled off of the negative things that were happening within the family.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I won't go too much into that, but like, there was definitely a lot of like negativity in my family. And I absolutely 100% believe that things fed off of that for sure. When things would get really bad, I would notice more activity too. And a lot of the like, the vibes that I was getting from the things there, especially the shadow figures, was that they really fed off of fear and anxiety and tension. And that probably explains a lot as to why those were the things that were most active there.
Did you ever feel any spirit there that was kind of loving and comforting and helpful to you? Or was it all pretty much darker?
I felt some neutral things. There were times I felt comforting spirits outside of the home. But in that house, I didn't get a bad feeling about the woman that looked like my grandmother. I don't know if it was my grandmother. I never knew her, so I don't know. Didn't really get a bad feeling about her. I mean, it scared the crap out of me. And Carly, the little girl, I kind of just got a neutral feeling about her. But most of the other things, I did not feel like they were good at all, like at all.
It's so interesting to me that there's so many different energies coming together in one place in this kind of ranch style, one story, normal looking home built in 1968. And I think it does kind of lead to a lifelong fascination of what is it? And exactly. I was talking to a woman once, and she grew up in a haunted house, and she is a psychic now. And we did an episode, her name's Cynthia Killian. We did an episode on the Grave Talks a while back. But she said, it's when people say they don't believe in it. She said, it's not a matter of believing in it. I experienced it. You know, it happened. It's not a belief. It happened to me. It's part of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I understand why people don't believe, because for a lot of people, like seeing is believing. And like, I totally understand, because a lot of it does seem really, really out there. But for me, it's kind of just like, I don't really have the option of not believing, because like, I have seen it, I've experienced it. It was a huge part of my life. There have been times that I tried to like, debunk it, and I was like, maybe it was just my imagination. But then I would think, and I'd be like, okay, well, I actually have this amount of stuff caught on video. I have friends who experienced it with me. It was my experience. So while I do understand why there are people who don't believe, and that's perfectly fine, I don't really have that option.
Right. And I also think that they haven't experienced it.
Yeah.
What exactly. I do find interesting is a lot of people will say, yeah, I don't believe in that, but this one time. And then they'll tell you a story. And then I'm always like, how do you explain that then?
Yeah.
If you don't believe in the paranormal, what was that? Because it sounds paranormal to me.
Yeah. And like a lot of the time, like people don't even, the word paranormal, I don't always even think of like, ghosts. Like I just think of like, which I do believe in ghosts obviously, but like I just think of like experiences that you can't explain. And I feel like everyone has some kind of experience that they can't explain.
Like, I don't believe in that, but this one time,
but there's this one time that happened.
Do you find yourself going into places, and it might not even be any sort of investigation, you just stayed at a hotel, you went to a friend's house, you go places and you feel it. Like the second you walk in, you feel it.
Yeah.
And I don't exactly know how to describe that, but that happens to you too?
Yeah, all the time. I've like, whether I experience anything or not, I always can like, whenever I have this joke with my fiance where I'm like, that building is haunted. And then I'm just like, I look it up later. I'm like, oh, it actually was haunted. I'm like, the building over here that's called this. And then I'm like, oh yeah, there is a ghost story about that place. Like I usually end up being right.
And there's, I don't know how to describe that. And there's some places where I physically react to it and other yeah. places where I just sense it.
Yeah. Usually I mostly just sense it. But there have absolutely been times that I've experienced things, in places where I did not expect to experience anything.
Mm-hmm. So you decided to not investigate anymore because I get that. You're living in a haunted house. You're investigating things. I totally see how things could be amped up by that and living in yeah. that house. I think that was a healthy thing to stop doing.
Yeah.
What was it about it that you decided to do it again?
So I actually like moved out of my hometown, so I haven't lived in that house for like years, and I'm in a place now where I like home feels safe and the vibes are good and everything, and I have more information about like how to protect myself, how to cleanse and things like that, and I feel confident in my ability to do so. So I feel like it's not as, I mean, obviously there are always going to be risks associated with it. But I feel like I've learned a lot. I know what buttons to push and what buttons not to push. And I feel confident in my ability to make sure that I am protected. So there's that, just the fact that I learned a lot about that. And I feel like I have more experience now. Also, I was definitely inspired because I, even though I stopped investigating, I've still always really liked reading about ghosts and watching shows and things like that. And I got really into the show Destination Fear. Mm-hmm. And I've been a fan of theirs for a while, but like I got like really, really into the show shortly after moving. And I was like, they just remind me so much of myself when I was a kid. And that's weird because they're like my age. But like, I don't know. I just felt really inspired. And it made me just kind of want to start getting back out there again. So I did. And it has been awesome.
That was my next question. So by having a different perspective, age always brings a little bit of wisdom, I like to think anyway.
Yeah.
And you're in a healthier place in your life.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's still compelling and I don't know, like a newer, different kind of experience?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It just really is different. I don't vary by it anymore. Like I honestly feel more in control of the situation because I know my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I know the signs of when something is going in the direction that I do not want it to go. There are even locations that I would stay away from because I know about the primary hauntings there and that they're very negative and I don't mess with that. It does really have a completely different vibe because I'm not really going into it scared anymore. I was scared back then. I was like a mixture of scared and fascinated, but now it's more like I'm just going in to try to make communication and I'm not like just like hoping for the best and hoping nothing is going to attach itself to me. Like I'm pretty confident in my ability to set boundaries.
One thing I always wonder about, I've never attempted it in my life, but about going back to that house, if you were to go back, do you think that whatever was there would remember you?
I do.
I do too.
I do because there was there was a time that, I mean, I lived in that house for like 21 years. So that's a long time. Like I literally grew up there and it remembered me when I was gone for a year. I know it's only a year, but when I came back, my parents and me and my little brother had moved out for a year, and my older brother and his wife had moved in. I came back to visit my older brother at one point, and I stayed the night at his house, and the activity went insane. And he was like, it's because I brought you into the house.
He and his wife had experienced things too.
Oh yeah.
During that time. But just by you being back in the house, it even ramped it up even more.
Like really bad. Like things were intense in that house anyway. They had quite a few experiences. But I came back. It was like running footsteps down the hallways, doors slamming, stuff getting knocked over, like back to back to back to back. Like something was excited.
And something was definitely trying to get everyone's attention.
Yep.
But not in a positive way. That isn't not a warm all. Welcome home. That's like a, my God, she's back and we're pissed sort of
time
feeling.
Time to mess stuff up.
Yeah. That's just interesting to me.
Yeah.
Do you have any words of advice for someone who is living in a haunted house right now?
Honestly, just do all you can to bring positive energy into your life, whether that is like by like spiritual means, crystals, cleansing, stuff like that, if you believe in that, or even just interacting with positive people, making positive friendships, having things that make you happy, and try to focus as much as you can on that, because it really does help. It's not going to make it go away. And also remember to set boundaries, because like you are absolutely capable of doing that. Straight up tell it to leave you alone. Like, I know it's going to sound silly just sitting there talking to an empty space and being like, leave me alone. It does work over time, in my experience, if you just are like, okay, stop. Like,
see, it's interesting. All of that you just said, I wish that we could, you know, have some weird time thing. And back in time, someone could have told young Carol that, because she needed to hear it. Even people who are adults right now listening to that. That was really good. And that was really good. That was really good. Because I think it's so important. I have conversations, especially since I talk about the paranormal so much. I have conversations with my house almost every day. I don't feel anything negative at all in my house, and I want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
So I just have conversations, and I try to be positive. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to have a happy home and good place for my pets.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that is your space. Like, you have to make it your sanctuary, basically. Like, don't like be picky about who you let into your space. Like, that includes people.
Oh, I so agree.
Like,
absolutely.
Don't just let anybody into your space.
You are exactly the person I wanted to talk to. I'm like, I want to talk to somebody who lived in a haunted house who I don't know. Allie, that girl. I want to talk to her. So thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And that wraps up our conversation with Allie Rose, author of Ghost Girl. And you can get the book through Amazon and follow her on TikTok at Spooky Allie Cake. And that's Spooky A-L-L-I-E, Spooky Allie Cake. And if you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. And I'm Carol Hughes. For all of us here at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.